Revelation chapter 3. As you're settling back in, finding that passage, hopefully, let me take this opportunity to once again welcome all those who are out with us here this evening. Thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for you being here this evening. It says a lot about you and your love for God. There's many other places you could be on a Sunday night, but the fact that you've chosen and made the effort to be here tonight, once again, says a lot about you, and I appreciate it. I'm encouraged by it. I hope you're encouraged by it as well as you look around and see those of like precious faith. We want to remind ourselves that we are going to continue to bring honor and glory to God by preaching and teaching His Word. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, Peter there said, "If any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God." And he closes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. And so here this evening, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I got to say here tonight. So God may be glorified, and you may be edified, and we might be able to look at this lesson in view of eternity. This evening, what I'd like to talk to us about is a little lesson that I've entitled, Getting Ready to Grow. You know, there's a lot of churches in the world today that just simply are not ready. They are not prepared to either grow in number or spirit. Consider Exhibit A in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 14 through 19. Look at verse 15 there. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." I wish you were cold or hot. "But because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increase in goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked." You don't have to be an Einstein to realize that these people are not prepared to grow. I don't care what kind of evangelistic effort may have been actually provided here in this congregation, how successful it was. How long will new converts survive in that type of environment? I mean, to have real growth, we must be ready as a congregation individually to grow. We must be ready to be used in the Lord's service. In the book of 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21, Paul says, "If any man therefore will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," that's what we're talking about this month, "set apart and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." That's what I'm talking about, getting ready to grow, being prepared to be the master's service. If we are ready, the Lord will open doors. I appreciate that prayer that Jeff led so well a few moments ago, asking for doors of opportunity. And we need to pray for that. And we need to look for that and pray that the Lord will give us opportunities. And since we're praying for that, we need to be prepared for that, to take advantage of that. In Revelation 3 and verse 8, as Jesus there speaks to the church at Philadelphia, he says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." If we're not ready, then we will ultimately fail. How do we prepare? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what I'm going to talk about here for the next 13 or 14 minutes. As you think about the idea of getting ready to grow, first of all, I want you to appreciate that as a congregation, we must offer assemblies that build up. If that's going to be the case, what are we going to see in here? First of all, we're going to have love. Jesus said in John 13 and verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, even so ye shall love one another. And by this the world," listen, "by this the world will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." How is it that someone can come into our assemblies and know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ? Someone says, because we got the church of Christ written on the outside of our front door. No, sir. Jesus said, if you will have love one for another, the world will know that you are my disciples. When people come into our assembly, we've got to offer up assemblies for one another and for new folks who come in that is filled with love, and assemblies that draw those closer to God. I've seen assemblies on television, and I was watching a show one time of a religious group who claimed themselves to be the disciples of God, and it looked a little bit more like a rock concert to me. And I kid you not, as the preacher was preaching, Greg, he began to moonwalk. Now, I got to tell you, that was kind of impressive. but it does not draw people closer to God. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 25, at the end of that verse, Paul says, "And falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in the truth with you." We must offer assemblies that draw us and them closer to God. Do they experience that courtesy, that warmth, that spiritual interest? You know, not all assemblies do that. Paul, as he's talking to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, 17, he said, "Now I say that I declare unto you, I praise you not. You come together not for the better, but for the worse." Their assemblies, as they came together, he said, was for the worse. They were not providing assemblies of truth, of love, and edification. And I need to appreciate that most new converts find their nourishment here. That's the reason why the Hebrew writer is saying in Hebrews 10 and verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the habit of some is, but rather exhorting one another as we see the day approaching." Exhorting, nourishing, edifying, provoking unto love and good works. And we must show, and they must be able to find true worship. Jesus said in John 4 and verse 23, beginning, "The hour is coming now is when the true worshipers of God shall worship him in spirit and in truth. For such seeks the Father to worship him, for God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We must provide assemblies with true worship, spirit and truth worship. We must be faithful to his services. One of the ways that in the past 20 years as I've preached where folks that I've worked in local groups where I could see the church is growing and being ready to grow is when that assembly on Sunday morning was matched by the assembly on Sunday night. Why do we accept a 60% drop-off of faithfulness in assembling and worshiping God? That is not a congregation that is ready, prepared to grow. Those who lead us in our worship must be prepared. Song leaders, those at the Lord's Supper table, the prayers, the preaching. There must be some enthusiasm in our worship. As we talked about the idea of spirit worship, the inward man engaged, the right emotion, the right attitude, the right energy that we put into our worship services. Is that the type of congregational assemblies that we are providing, those kinds that can build up? Are we that kind of church? Well, are we that kind of people? Because a church is what brethren are. I'll say it one more time. A church is what brethren... Boy, that church was friendly. You know why, Jared? Because the brethren are friendly. Boy, that church there is full of love. You know why? Because the brethren are full of love. Oh my, that worship there was enthusiastic. Why? Because the individual members that make up the body of Christ were enthusiastic in their worship. If we're going to prepare to grow, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to offer assemblies that build up, and we must assimilate and nurture our new members. They must feel welcome. They must feel that family feel that the Lord wishes for them to feel. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, he said, I write these things unto you in case I tarry long, that you might know how to behave yourself. Listen. In the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the ground, the truth. It is the household of God. The church is the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and we love one another as family, and we must assimilate and nurture our new members as brothers and sisters in Christ. They must feel that family feel. Do we offer that to our new members? Paul in Romans 15, 1 through 3, exhorted those of us who are stronger must encourage those which are weak, for even Christ did not try to please himself, but how to please others. If we're going to get ready to go as a congregation, we're going to have to offer assemblies that build up, and we're going to have to simulate, and we're going to have to nurture our new members. But also, we got to consider ourselves from an individual standpoint. Individuals must be prepared to grow, and we've got to strengthen our relationship with our God. Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 12, as he talked to the church at Philippi in regards to his own relationship with God, he says, "Not that I have already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after that I might apprehend that which I wish to be apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto the things which are before me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I'm not perfect. I am going to continue to reach and stretch and strengthen myself in my relationship with my God." And that's what Peter was exhorting in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning verse 5, when he said, "Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and to godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. If these things are in you, surely an entrance will be given to you abundantly in the heavenly kingdom. But if you're not," he said, "you're blind. You're blind. You're fooling yourself. If you're not growing, if you're not trying to strengthen your relationship with God, you have forgotten that you've been purged from your sins. I must grow, and I'm going to grow through my study." In 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire that sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby." Have we in 2019 as a congregation, we're now in the last month of it, and I just ask you, and I just challenge you, have we cultivated in our lives individually a desire to feed upon the word of God? When I understand and when I contemplate that command of the Apostle Peter, I understand that that desire of the milk is a trait in which I can cultivate as newborn babes desire that sincere milk of the Word that you might grow thereby. Study the Word of God and pray. I love Philippians 4 and verse 6. Don't be anxious for anything, but he said, don't be anxious for anything, but through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Strengthen our relationship with God. God speaks to us today through his word. If you want to know what God has on his mind, what he has planned for you, what his will for you is, I feed and I study upon his word. I communicate back to that benevolent divine who has given the ultimate in his Son, dying for my sins, letting my cares and requests be made known unto him, knowing that I can move the hand of God, the power that said, "Let there be light," and there was light, moves on my behalf in my life through my prayers. And as I pray, I grow in that closeness and that relationship with God as a father with a son and a son with a father. And then I assemble. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the habit of some is. Habits, ladies and gentlemen, can be, and when they are bad, must be broken. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves as the habit of some is, but rather exhorting one another, strengthening our relationship with God. And we must strengthen our relationship with one another. Being close and assimilated with the group, being a part of the body of Jesus Christ, is of absolute necessity of the child of God. I must strengthen my relationship with one another through our unity, being united. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Jesus prayed, he said, I don't just pray for these alone, but those who will believe upon me through their word, that they all might be one, that they might be one in us, that the world might know that thou hast sent me. I just beseech you, brethren, by the name of Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same things, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined in the same mind and in the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, united. United we shall stand. Separated, we will fall. And we must strengthen that relationship with one another and being at peace and being united in our love one for another. The Hebrew writer said, let brotherly love continue. Paul told the Thessalonians, listen, I don't need to tell you about love. God has already told you about love and you're doing that. But I beseech you, he says, do it more and more. Just how much love do I got to have? More and more. I don't know if I can love anymore. Love more. Love the brethren more. Strengthen our relationship with one another. Paul said, utilizing hospitality one to another without grudging. Spending time with one another, being there for one another, strengthens. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that prepares a congregation for growth. It prepares a congregation for growth. As those who are baptized into Christ are assimilated into their new family, into that new body, that new united body that loves and cares and shares with one another, we are prepared to grow. And finally, I want you to relationships with the lost. Jesus, as he is talking there on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving that kingdom of God message. These are the attributes. These are the characteristics of those involved in the kingdom of God. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, what's it good for? Well, it's good for nothing, he said. But to be cast out and trodden under foot of man. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Listen, nobody takes a candle, lights it, and puts it under a bushel basket. No, you don't do that. You light it and put it on a candlestand so everyone can see. And then Jesus provides divine commentary. Let your light so shine before men. Let them see your good works that they might glorify your Father which is in heaven. Who do we shine our lights to? The world. Where are the lost right now? Where will you come in contact this tomorrow with the lost? There it is that you must let your light shine. Jesus was ridiculed for his relationship with the lost. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 10, it says, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in a house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why does he eat? What does your master eat but the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that behold me not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We've got to be, as Jesus prayed in the book of John chapter 17 for his disciples, in the world but not of the world. We must let our light shine. We must be the salt of the earth. We must have a love for those that are lost. We must interact with them. We must spread the leaven of Jesus Christ from our lives into the lives of others. And the
develop that relationship with the lost. I would not be your friend if I did not remind you what the wise man said in Proverbs 11 and verse 30, that he that winneth souls is wise. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to appreciate here this evening that if we can do these things as we close out 2019 and begin a new year, then we can be prepared to grow. We must, as a congregation, offer assemblies that build up and assimilate the new members. We must strengthen our relationship with God, strengthen our relationship with one another, and develop the relationship with the lost that allow us to be the type of influence and have those doors of opportunity open unto us that we so well prayed for at the beginning of this service. And if we've learned these lessons and we'll apply them, then our time here this evening will have been spent very profitably. You listen well, and I appreciate that. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you. Maybe there's one in our audience tonight that's not been obedient to the words of our Lord. Go into the world, preach the good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. We saw a wonderful example. Remission of his sins. You can follow that good example tonight if you've not done that. Maybe there's something else that we can help you do to get you back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're here, ready, willing, and able to help you if the Lord will allow it. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we will confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We extend the Lord's invitation to you. Sing this song to encourage us. I'll just have it. Great blessed is the night.